And welcome to the CWF Gamecast. This is Thursday, January 24th, 2008, and this solo cast is with your host, Raven. Today we will be discussing Black Gobbo number 107 and some new releases for Games Workshop's Lord of the Rings and Warhammer Fantasy games. In particular, we're going to be talking about some new Vampire Count models coming out. As always, I want to remind all of you that we have our website for you to head on over to and check out. It is wargamingforums.com. And our theme song is Zombie by Devin Anderson, which is some pod-safe music that we try to play and share for you. Strongly believe in the pod-safe music and in supporting the artists who create that music for podcasters like myself to use. It's a lot of great stuff out there, but let's get right into today's show. First up is Black Gobbo 107, and if you're a Games Workshop fanatic, you definitely already subscribed to Black Gobbo, which is free, and if not, you should. It's a great free web magazine, and I use that term kind of loosely. In the latest issue, they spent a lot of time on brand new stuff for the Space Orcs from 40K, but they also have some stuff for Lord of the Rings, in particular for the Harad region, but we're going to get into that later on in the podcast. What we actually want to talk about in relation to this Black Gobbo, and it's kind of something that's come about from other ones that we've seen, and it's not necessarily a good thing, but we noticed that instead of being a regular magazine, when I say regular, I don't really mean like something that's in the print media, but like a magazine with depth and detail and, you know, substance to their articles, it's kind of just like a glitzy surface and nothing really underneath. This particular one, you know, as I said, has a lot for the Space Orcs. It has a pretty nice article for Harad, and it has, like, some cool stuff. It has pictures for, you know, the sprues for the trucks and the war bikes, and helps you kind of figure out how to build some of the models, and it has, like, a reference sheet and that kind of things. And, you know, it's nice, light kind of things to get into. But there's not a whole lot there. It's kind of, you know, just shiny pictures and a couple paragraphs of information, and that's it. I'm not sure how long you've been a fan of Games Workshop or following the games and their products, but not too long ago on their website, you know, this kind of content would be regular fare. You could go anytime, day or night, and you'd find something new, an article or some content. And that content is now being repackaged into a special format called their Black Gobbo magazine, and it's the same stuff, but they're treating it like it's a VIP or something, and the content's kind of fun to read or whatever, but it doesn't really qualify, in my opinion, as magazine material. If you look at the Harad background, just briefly, you know, it's kind of fun to read, and it's a nice background and everything, but I don't think it deserves to get the spotlight put on it as, hey, look, this is part of our new online magazine. We've been doing it for 107 issues now, so that's 107 months worth of content. That doesn't really mean anything to me, because it's just, you know, stuff you'd find on the web anyway. Looking at the Space Orc, you know, the reference sheet, I have like a technical kind of issue with it, because they do this all the time, and they've done it with other reference sheets. It's not like this is the first time they've done anything. And I haven't commented about it before because I felt that, you know, I would give them a chance to see what they think about their own product and see how they like their own magazine and where they want to go with it and fix any errors about it. But, you know, we're on issue 107 and they haven't really fixed these things yet. So I feel like I need to talk about them. With the reference sheet, you know, if you click on it, you would think, hey, it's going to take me to the reference sheet for the Space Orcs. It's obviously probably going to be some sort of PDF, and most things nowadays are, so you know, you're going to need the Acrobat Reader to read it. So you expect that, or you expect that if you're not taken directly to the PDF, that you're going to be taken to maybe a page about Space Orcs, or a page that says, hey, this is a PDF, or this is whatever type of file. You will need such and such program to open it and to view it and use it. It doesn't do that. What it does is it takes us to this general page all about all of the 40K quick reference sheets. It has them for all of the other races. It's just like this generic entry, intro kind of page. And those other sheets, yeah, they're useful if you play the other armies. And I suppose they're useful even if you play against the other armies. But if you're clicking on a link for the Space Orc reference sheet, you're clicking on this thing for Space Orcs, you would think, or at least I do anyway, I expect that I'm going to be taken to the Space Orc sheet or to a page about Space Orcs. I expect to go directly to that. I don't expect to go to a page that's going to be like, hey, look, here's some Space Marine stuff, or Inquisition. Oh, look, there's some Tau. We get some information about them. No. If I'm clicking on this, I'm probably playing Space Orcs. I'm thinking about playing Space Orcs. Or I just want information about the Space Orcs. I don't want all this other information. You know, just a personal thing. When I link people to articles that we post on our blog, which is located at our website of wargamingforums.com, or if I'm telling people about the podcast, I don't give them a link to the main page. I don't say go to wargamingforums.com. I give them the actual link for the particular article that I'm talking about. So if I'm talking about an article dealing with the new releases for Vampire Counts, I put the link to that actual article. I don't say, hey, go to wargamingforums.com, blah, 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 blah. And then if you scroll down just right, you get to the search bar. And then in the search bar, you type in what you're looking for. No, because if people want to look at the thing that I'm talking about, and I want them to say, hey, here's this content, I think you're going to like this content, go to that content, they're going to expect to go directly to the content. They're not expecting that they're going to have to search around for some stuff for a while. They just want to dig right in and enjoy. And that's how I am, and I think that's how most other people are. And Games Workshop really needs to use this as an example, because if they emulate it, they're going to be able to say, hey, we need to reformat our online magazine. We got to get Black Gobble a little better. So instead of just being like, hey, look, here's a 40K quick reference entry level introduction index page full of all the sheets and stuff. No. Say, well, we're going to link directly to the sheet or to a page devoted to the sheet that says, hey, this is the kind of software you need to use the material we're providing. That is better customer service. That makes it easier for people to get at what they need. It makes it better for people to get at what they need. And it's also fewer steps. The less steps people have to do any process, no matter what this process is, the more likely they are to make it. If it took you 400 steps to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, assuming you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you're not going to do it if there's another way to do it in 100 steps. If you could do it in a fourth amount of time, you're going to do it in the fourth of amount of time. So if people aren't giving you the option to do it in that quicker way, you're going to be less likely to do it. It's human nature. It's just how it is. Especially nowadays, you know, with this whole information internet age that we've been in for a while, people just expect to get in and do stuff as fast and quickly as possible. And Games Workshop targets younger people. They target the teens. They target people, you know, 13 and up. They target people in their 20s, whatever. Nowadays, people have less of an attention span. They're doing 4, 5, 10 things at once. They're not spending 4 hours on any particular thing. They're not spending 30 minutes to go look up something if they can do it in 5 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever. Games Workshop needs to grab onto this, provide the better customer service by linking directly to the actual things. Plus, they need to provide more depth and detail. And I know you're probably thinking, well, wait a minute. They got the White Dwarf. White Dwarf has more detail. It has more depth. It has more content. It's more meat. It's meatier. It's something you can grab onto and hang on and just devour. Yeah, it does. But not by a whole lot. They're working on that. White Dwarf used to be a great publication that was full of content that was nice and thick, and it actually had, you know, meat to it. It had a lot of value. It wasn't just surface layer kind of stuff. Then it became all flashy, flavor of the month, what can we sell? It was like a glorified, you know, really catalog. Hey, look at all the new shiny things that are coming out. We want to buy these and that. You need this because if you don't have this, all your friends will have it, and you'll be left behind, so you need to buy this. And then Games Workshop realized, hey, we don't want to be doing that. That's not good customer service. And they started to reformat this. If they're doing that in White Dwarf, which people are paying, you know, here in America, you're paying $6 for, right? $6 every month for this magazine at the newsstand. People are paying for that. They expect to at least get the same in the free Black Gobble. So, you know, Games Workshop, if you listen to this podcast, which you may or may not, but if you do, please rethink how you do Black Gobble. Redo the technical stuff. Add a little more meat and depth to your articles. Make it more than just, you know, a picture with a couple paragraphs of flimsy content and things that take like 2 seconds to look at. And, you know, maybe that's where you want to go with it. Maybe you want the Black Gobble to be this light online thing that, you know, it's just kind of fun that people spend 2 minutes looking at. But I would think that you'd want to keep them on your website as long as possible, that you're going to want the articles to link to other articles. And then, you know, even to link into products that people are going to want to buy, or if they're not going to buy them directly, that, you know, if you keep them long enough on your website, they're going to be exposed to more stuff, more content, more game, more materials, so they'll have better times playing games, and that they'll also be more likely to spend more money on your games. It's just something to think about. Anyway, I've ranted more than I thought I was going to on Black Gobble. I was hoping to make it more of a kind of a philosophical thought kind of thing going on. Hey, what if? Instead, it became me kind of being a little angry about it, and I do apologize for that. But at this point, we're actually going to switch gears and go over to one of my favorite segments of the show, Music to Game By. And we're going to play a song that we played last week. And last week, we actually didn't say we were going to play the song. Last week, we said we were going to play a different song, and we had some technical difficulties. So I put in the show notes for this, for last week's episode of the podcast, an apology about it and how I had replaced the song with a different one. That's the song I'm going to play now. It's called Civilization and It's Discontent by Massachusetts native and resident Matt Searles, who I also have to apologize to because in last week's podcast, I pronounced his name wrong, and I had emailed him, a very nice guy, and told him about the technical difficulties and my mispronunciation, and I apologized for it then, but I want to apologize for it again and just say, Matt, thank you. And because of all that craziness that happened, we're going to replay Civilization and Its Discontent for everyone. It's a longer song. It's a good song, though. So I hope you definitely enjoy it. And when the song's over, we will be back to discuss new releases for Lord of the Rings and The Vampire Counts. And I know this is going to make a lot of you happy because we've been spending a lot of time on 40K. And in light of the comments we had on iTunes a while back about not spending much content on Lord of the Rings, you know, here we go. We have a whole segment devoted to Lord of the Rings. So listen to Civilization and Its Discontent by Matt Searles, and we'll be right back afterwards. We'll be right back. So, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed listening to Civilization and its Discontent. Right now, as I had said, we're going to be talking about some new releases for the Lord of the Rings game. They had just come out not too long ago. The expansion is called Harad. It deals with the southern part of the Lord of the Rings world. If you had seen the films, which I'm sure most of you had, the Mumaks, the gigantic elephant-like beast, they came from Harad, and the people who were riding them and fighting on that side for, you know, the forces of evil come from that area. And for the game, they actually came out with some pretty neat new releases. The models look really, really nice, and they have all sorts of stuff for the game. They got some new Corsairs coming out, which I actually think they look really nice. They're firing these gigantic crossbow things, and obviously a crossbow takes a lot longer to reload than a longbow or a regular bow and arrow. So they have these shields to, like, kind of hide behind when they're doing that. Plus, there's this great new model called Dalamir. He's the fleet master of Umbar. He's in charge of all their ships. And he just kind of it looks like he's holding some sort of, like, compass in one hand. He has, like, pretty good size blade in the other. It has, like, this purple cape. Well, obviously, you can paint it whatever color you want, but he has, like, this cape that's kind of flowing. The ones I like the best, and most people probably going to be like, oh, okay, they're kind of cool, but I don't know. It's for the people who had the Mumaks, called the Mahud. It's the warriors who have blowpipes, and I really like them because of the Indiana Jones feel that I get from them. And you're thinking, Indiana Jones? What? Well, if you remember from the first Indiana Jones, when he's going around, and he's in South America, and he's going into that cave, when he comes out, there's all those natives down there who have the blowpipes with the poison tips who are trying to take him out. These kind of remind me of them. Like, they don't look like them, per se, because, like, they got these, like, gigantic shields on the back, and, like, they're bald. Well, some of them bald, and some have, like, mohawks and stuff or whatever. Like, the blowpipe is just, like, a really ingenious weapon. I know it doesn't do a whole lot of damage, and I'm sure it doesn't in terms of gameplay. I actually don't know a whole lot about this expansion in terms of gameplay. It's more so just about the models and my reaction to them. But blowpipes, in general, are just kind of neat weapons. It's like, you know, you just take some piece of material that you have in your environment, a piece of wood, for example, or bamboo, or whatever, and you hollow it out if it's not already hollowed out, and you blow, like, really, really hard, and you shoot this projectile out, a dart, a poisoned something or other, arrows, whatever, you know? If you think about it just from when you were in school, I'm sure you shot out spitballs at people. You take your pen apart, you put them in, get a little piece of paper, you put it in, well, get it all soggy, put it in, blow, and, you know, and you hit someone or something with your spitball. Same idea, you just had a blowpipe. And they're just really, really cool. But all of the models are pretty neat. They got these beasts of burden that look like camels that are pretty neat. They're just all really sculpted really well. Lord of the Rings, I've long said, in addition to having what I think are some really great core rules, they have some really nice models. At first, I wasn't, you know, really turned on by the models in the very beginning, because I had seen the films, or the ones that had been out at that time, and I saw the models for the main characters, and I thought, well, that doesn't look anything like the guy who plays Sam, or anything like Frodo, or whoever. But then the more I looked at it, I realized that, well, you know, you can only get so much detail on a piece of plastic or metal of that size, and it's still a fantasy game in a model, and they actually looked surprisingly enough like the people who played the characters, because they modeled the looks after the movie, which, you know, can't blame. The movie was very well done in terms of cinematography and the looks of the world. They tried to take Tolkien's works and show it to the everyman, and part of that is visual representation. If you think of Lord of the Rings, I don't care if you've read all the books or not, I think you tend to think more of the films. You think of the look of it. Because, yeah, you can read how it looks in the books and everything, that visual representation that you saw when the first time you saw the film, it just kind of stays with you. And no matter how good or bad you think the films are, or as a whole, you know, the look of them is incredible. And this got carried through by Games Workshop in the models. The models are stunning. I know a lot of the new models for all of the games, especially 40K, are really nice looking. But these ones for Lord of the Rings, they're just above and beyond. Like, there's this new horse for the Haradrim. It has a rider, obviously, on his shooting bow and arrow and stuff. And it fits really nicely in with everything else. But the horse itself is so well sculpted and modeled, it's far superior to any of the horses that I have from my older fantasy models, my ones for Chaos and for Vampire Counts, because I would mix in, you know, like regular horse models with skeletal horse models and stuff like that. It just looks so much better than any of them. It's incredibly lifelike, and it's just really well done. Like, all of them are really well done. There's one model, and it just might be more of how it's painted. I'm not saying it's painted poorly, but there's one model that I'm not overly stunned by for the new release of Lord of the Rings, and it's the Watchers of Karna. They're kind of all covered up. They look like they could be, like, you know, Middle Eastern ninja kind of looking things. They got the big robes and stuff on, and it just kind of looks, it's one with, like, the two blades in his hand, just like ready to attack or whatever. And looking, it just kind of looks like a blob of, you know, metal. And I believe they're metal. It just looks like a blob of metal, just kind of there with a little bulk, a few bulges and a couple arms or whatever. It doesn't really awe me. It's there, you know. I'm sure it's pretty useful in the game or whatever, but I don't know. It doesn't really wow me at all. The rest of them are pretty cool. And if you play Lord of the Rings, I do highly recommend, you know, at least checking out these models. And if you don't want to check them out, then hey, you're lost. But they look really nice, and I think they'd probably make a really good addition to your Lord of the Rings army. So, you know, maybe if you're playing whatever force you're playing for Lord of the Rings, maybe it's time to create a new force. These are really nice models, and I can definitely see people having a lot of fun with them. They look really great once they're well-painted, and they look really nicely even unpainted, too. But naturally, if you're going the whole nine yards, you want to paint them up after you assemble and stuff. Get the table looking really nice when you play and take some pictures and stuff, you know? And if you do that, hey, send some in to us. We'll tell you how later on in the show. But I just want to say, you know, we're told that we don't spend much time on Lord of the Rings and that we don't spend any time on Lord of the Rings in our podcast. Well, we just had an entire segment on the new releases for Harad for Lord of the Rings. And they're incredible. So head on over to Games Workshop or your nearest hobby place, little local friendly gaming store, and pick them up and see what you think. Anyway, we're moving on to my most excitable section of this particular podcast, dealing with one of my favorite armies of all time, the Vampire Counts. You may not know, but I think out of all the games put out by Games Workshop that they're currently still supporting actively, Warhammer is my favorite. Battlefleet Gothic is my favorite overall game by Games Workshop, but not really being supported currently right now. Warhammer is my favorite one, and my favorite army for Warhammer are the Vampire Counts. I love them. They're incredible. I love the fluff behind them. I love the models. I love everything about them, which is kind of odd because I have a very active imagination, and, you know, I can't watch Perry Mason. And if you don't know what Perry Mason is, head on over to Wikipedia and look it up. But I can't even watch Perry Mason without, you know, letting the suspense get to me and my mind go wild and think all sorts of crazy things. And so, like, I can't even watch horror movies because they just freak me out so much and I can't sleep for days and days because my imagination goes crazy. So to play a horror army is so outside of the box for me that it's just, it's amazing. Like, I don't think any of my friends ever would have expected me to want to play Vampire Counts. And these new Vampire Count models are incredible. They're so wonderful. I actually first noticed them and shared them with all of you on my birthday, which was the 22nd of last December. Did an article on the blog called Happy Birthday Raven, Here's Some Blood Knights, and showed three new models for the army. They're for the Blood Knights army, you know, section of the army. And a guy on a horse, and then there was a musician, a standard bearer, and they're all mounted and stuff. And, like, they got me really excited. They're very different. The sculpts are kind of, you know, out there. And they're not like the old ones. And it took a little getting used to. But at the same time, I was very excited about them. Like, my favorite one's a standard bearer because it's just amazing. But then I had recently seen that they released models for the Von Karsteins. And when I say released, I mean they released pictures for them. But also, if you have the new White Dwarf for February, White Dwarf 337, which we will be sharing with you on the blog and a couple articles coming up. But in the back of it, actually, if you look at the very last page, rather, it says, next month, Vampire Counts, and it shows a Vampire Count army, and it looks wonderful. It's a mix of new and old, and They're just incredible looking, and I'm sure you can probably hear me flipping the pages as I'm, you know, recording this. And that's just showing you that I'm actually looking at the White Dwarf. And, you know, if you flip back a couple pages, you're going to see that they show advanced orders for the stuff. And before I get into talking about the models, I'm just going to, you know, list some of the new things that they have out and the prices for them, because the prices are actually pretty reasonable. They have the Army Book out for $22, which is $2 more than I paid for my last Army Book. I remember paying $19.99, which is like $20. A Battalion is $90, and it doesn't really say exactly what's in the Battalion, but I'm sure it's like all the other battalions that have been out. You get some sort of Vampire Lord on foot, maybe a couple units of Corps, and some sort of someone mounted maybe, or maybe some Dire Wolves or something. They have new ghouls, which are calling Crypt Ghouls, who are pretty cool looking. They're all hunchback and stuff. Those are $22 for a box. And then they also got a new chariot called the Corpse Cart. It's $25. It actually looks really nice. It kind of reminds me of like the stories you may have heard of the Black Plague in Europe. When people were dying, they'd go around and they'd have the cart go around with like the whoever was in charge of it, you know, ringing a bell and stuff, and you put your corpses out and then they throw them in the cart or whatever. It kind of reminds me of that. At the same time, being a major Von Karstein fanatic, I do love the Black Coach. Just the idea of your vampire riding around in his coffin. It's so Dracula, and it's amazing, and I love it. But I'm sure I'll fall in love with the Corpse Cart even more when I see it. It's only $25. You get a box of skeletons. New skeletons look really nice. I love the helmets on these guys with like horns and all sorts of stuff. It's very cool. It kind of looks like they're playing a little bit, you know, off of the Pirates movies that have been out with some of these skeletons. But, you know, that works. In the $22, they're not bad. It seems like average core is going for $22. Like the new Dire Wolves are incredible looking. They're more fleshy. The ones I have, which I had, you know, shown in some models on the blog ages ago, which I'll have to dig up and share with all of you, they're all like fur and stuff, and I painted them. They're kind of like possessed looking wolves. But the new ones are pretty cool. They're fleshy. I'm sure they're going to be a pain to paint, but they look really nice. $22 for that. It's $75, which I think this is a little steep. But for a unit of Blood Knights, it's five guys on horseback. $75, I don't know. I know the hobby in general is expensive, and it just seems a little extra expensive to me. But whatever. And then a unit of Grave Guard, who were incredible under the old Army Book. $25, that's not bad. And what else do they got? They also got $185 for what they call the Spearhead. You could get... you can get the new Mayfriend Von Karstein. They have him on foot and also on horseback. Plus, you can get Conrad. He's $12. Vlad, and everyone loves a good Vlad. Remember the old Vlads that were out? They didn't make a new one for quite a while, but he's going for $12. It looks like most of the blisters are $12. They get a new Winged Vampire Lord, who I'm going to be talking about his model for you. And $17 for the Blood Knights. The Blood Knights seem to be more expensive than the rest, but they just... really nice. I'm very excited about them. And as I had said before, I went on this tangent about the content of White Dwarf. I came across some pictures for some of them on the website. Came across the new Winged Vampire Lord, and I'm really excited about him because, well, first of all, they did an incredible paint job with this guy. He just looks really awesome. And an idea of having a Vampire Lord with wings, that's amazing. As you know, under the old rules, your army would crumble and, you know, fade away if they weren't within leadership range of your general. So being able to have a general who can go around and still protect stuff and give his leadership to them is really cool, because before you plop a general in middle and everyone else as close to as you could but still, like, spread out, and then you would go. Well, now you don't seem to really have to worry about that as much, I'm guessing, based on this one model. The model for Conrad Von Karstein is amazing. Part of it, I'm not sure if it's sculpted or if it's just how they painted him, but he's having these two swords, and there's blood dripping off it. He's glaring up at the swords, opening his mouth, waiting for the blood to come in. He's just vanquished some foe or whoever, and he's drinking their blood. Then he has a cape made out of bats. How incredible is that? The sculpting on these things are truly incredible. His armor is very Blood Knight's. It's definitely looks like that. It's amazing. The new Manfred is wonderful. On horseback, his steed is gigantic. It looks almost demonic, really, from how crazy it is. It's a skeletal steed. The mouth on that thing is gigantic. It looks like it could bite your head off. It really does. He has this gigantic scythe kind of thing going on, and his cape is incredible, even like on foot. It's amazing. And then got a picture of the Graveguard. The Graveguard really look stunning. I like them so much that I think I would actually have to pick up a new group of them for myself, because I maxed out on my Vampire Count army. I got to assemble my Vampire Count army, but I don't need more Graveguard, but I feel like I need to have these new ones because they're just incredible. Like, some of the helmets on these things are pretty cool. They're like bat helmets and stuff. And I don't know. They're just truly amazing. I'm sure you can tell by how excited I am about this, by how much, you know, I love the Vampire Counts. They're wonderful. They're my favorite Warhammer army. They're, I think, my favorite Games Workshop army, period. I just love them so much. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there who love the undead. And, you know, these are for you. Anyway, I've kind of rambled on long enough. So it's time for me to bring this episode of our podcast to a close. Want to thank you for listening. I want to say I hope you had a good time with it and that this inspires you to check out the new releases for Harrod for Lord of the Rings and Vampire Counts. And even though I kind of bashed the new issue of Black Gobble, number 107, I hope you do check it out because it's good stuff in there. I just don't think it's worthy of being spotlighted as much as they do by saying, hey, it's part of our online magazine. But it is good content. It's fun to read. It's fun stuff. So head on over to check that out. As always, if you go to our website of wargamingforums.com, you will see our show notes for all of our podcasts, and in particular, this one is up there. You can go into our show notes for this, and there's links to everything we talked about, links to pictures of the new releases for Harrod, links to a background history of Harrod. We got links to pictures for the new Vampire Counts. We got a link to the Black Gobbo on issue 107. We also got a link to an article that I wrote with my thoughts about issue 107. Links to the music of Civilization and Its Discontent by Matt Searles. We got a link to Zombie by Devin Anderson. And we got links here, there, and everywhere. Plus, you can also listen to the podcast in our show notes. So while you're reading the show notes and clicking on the stuff, you can listen to the podcast again. And just want to thank you again. And as always, please give us your feedback. You can give it to us by going to our Contact Us page, which is over through our website, and you get into it through our show notes. So if you just head over to wargamingforums.com, you can find our particular episode of the podcast. And if you can't find that, when you click on the website, just over on the right in the sidebar, you're going to see it says a bunch of things. It says like meta and top 10 tags, but right underneath on the left side, it says pages, and there's a thing that says contact us. You click it, there's a little form you can fill out. It's secure, it's safe. Send it to us, and you can let us know, and you can also send us pictures and your thoughts about all sorts of stuff. As always, I want to thank you again, and we're going to be coming back to you next Thursday on January 31st, 2008. Once again, just hope you had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun spending this time with you, and as always, remember, keep on gaming. Thanks. Bye.